The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honored among men. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. The body, though all its parts are many, form one body. So it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. God placed all things under Christ's feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. Before we join in this prayer, this is a good time for spontaneous prayer, not aloud today, but in our hearts with God. We can pray about anything that is moving through our spirit, but on this day, what a perfect day simply to say thank you. We know the thanksgiving that courses through our being today. If it's in your heart, say thank you to God. And after a few moments, I'll say amen, and we can use this prayer together. So let's give thanks together. Amen. All together, ready? Most loving Father, it is your will for us to give thanks always, to fear nothing but losing you, and to cast all our cares on you, who cares for us. Preserve us from faithless fears and worldly anxieties, so that no clouds of this mortal life may hide from us the light of that love which is immortal and which you have manifested to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Today and next Sunday are the last two Sundays that we reflect on the Apostles' Creed and its meaning. So I'd like for us to say the Creed or to read it. It will be on the screen together today and next Sunday. So all together, let's do this. Ready? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come again, the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. I love this church, and I need your help in loving it. So for a few minutes, would you set aside anything you've heard about churches and child abuse or hate mongering or bigotry? Would you set aside whatever might come into your head when you hear the word Baptist? I know you can't forget those things, but would you push back? Would you let me help you push back? The Apostles' Creed helps us to push back. In face of the disappointing and shameful behavior by Christians, the Apostles' Creed declares, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. Those unshakable realities will see the church through her darkest times and rejuvenate her life and her mission. I'll talk about all four of those today. I also want to help you push back with a vision of what the Holy Spirit may be doing in this congregation, which I have never seen in any church that I have been part of before. We didn't plan it. We didn't expect it. It can be unsettling. It is full of hope. Let's get started. Central to our experience today is the last third of the Apostles' Creed, which begins, I believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God in person. We can't see him, but we can experience him. Jesus gave us a picture of how we can experience the Spirit. You'll find it in the Gospel of John. And I'd like to invite you to join me there in John chapter 3 and verses 5 through 8. John chapter 3, of course, is Jesus' famous nighttime conversation with Nicodemus. And verses 5 through 8 take place right in the middle of that conversation. And here's what happened. John chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. No one has ever seen the Spirit. No one has ever seen the wind. The only evidence of the wind is the rustling of the leaves or that piece of paper moving mysteriously along the front yard or the cool that you feel as the wind blows across your face on a hot day. The first evidence of the Spirit's presence is love. We're here together in the Gospel of John. Keep a marker there. We're going to come back to it. And let's turn forward past the book of Acts to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 is sweet all the way through. Listen to what the apostle said there. They are magnificent words. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. The difference between a living faith and a dead religion is love. If your heart is full of the love which God has for you and full of a desire to love Him back, your faith is a living power in your soul. Our worship here each Sunday creates a spiritual context in which the Spirit can renew our experience of God's love for us, and in which we can express again and again our love for Him. It's here that for a few moments we can push back those clamoring voices that demand and deplete our energies. We try to listen to His voice, and we trust the Spirit to waken in us afresh the love that God has for us and our love for Him. Heaven and earth intersect right here, and we hold communion with God. The second evidence of the Spirit's presence is the church. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church. A central scripture that bears witness to the church is in the next letter of the New Testament. After Romans comes 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, we come to chapter 12 and verses 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is all about the church, how it works, where its power comes from, something of its nature. And right in the middle of it are verses 12 and 13. Here's what the apostle wrote. The body, meaning the human body, is a unit, although it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. The key word in verse 13 is the word baptized. It means united. The Holy Spirit baptizes each person who comes to personal faith in Jesus into the global body of Christ, which we call the church. Baptism by water, which we're going to do here next Sunday, is the visible representation of what the Spirit does. Now I have a question for you. Why doesn't the church die? Liberal Protestant Christianity, in its unholy alliance with the political left, is gutting much out of what makes biblical Christianity distinctive. The Roman Catholic Church has brought shame on the name of Christ by its child abuse scandal and by covering it up. Evangelical Protestants like us, in our unholy alliance with the political right, have somehow conveyed to the public the idea that we are fear mongers, hate mongers, and full of bigotry. What happened here? Is the church in Europe and North America on its last legs? I have a book in my library that I read and reread periodically called The Everlasting Man by G.K. Chesterton. And I brought it along today because there is an excerpt from it that I wanted you to hear. It speaks to the question, why doesn't the church die? Here's what he wrote. It, the church, the faith, was supposed to have been withered up at last in the dry light of the age of reason. It was supposed to have disappeared ultimately in the earthquake of the age of revolution. Science explained it away, and it was still there. History disinterred it in the past, and it appeared suddenly in the future. Today it stands once more in our path, and even as we watch it, it grows. It would seem that sooner or later, even its enemies will learn from their incessant and interminable disappointments not to look for anything so simple as its death. They may continue to war with it, but it will be as they war with nature, as they war with the landscape, as they war with the skies. Heaven and earth shall pass away, said Jesus, but my words will not pass away. They will watch for it to stumble. They will watch for it to err. They will no longer watch for it to end. The Holy Spirit, God in person, animates the Church of Jesus Christ. And that's where our power and our energy come from. And as far as the church in Europe and in North America is concerned, I think it's really good for us to remember two things. First of all, the church is busting out in South America, Africa, and Asia. And the church in North America, especially the church in the United States, is experiencing repentance, resilience, and resurgence in ways that bear witness to the Spirit's presence and power in the church. You won't hear about either of those things in the media because the media are terrified of the church's presence and influence over the lives of people. The Holy Spirit makes you part of something unstoppable. A third evidence of the Spirit's presence is the communion of saints. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Right here in 1 Corinthians 12 are scriptures that bear witness to this reality. The first one is in verses 4, 5, and 6. There are different kinds of gifts, abilities, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all of us. This church is a treasure house of giftedness and abilities that somehow work together to build us up. They're very different from each other, and the apostle celebrated that diversity of goodness in verses 14, 15, and 16. He said the body is not made up of one part, but of many, so that if the foot should say, I'm not a hand, and so I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. The communion of saints simply means the sharing with each other the good things that God has put into every one of us and which we bring together for our mutual enrichment. That's how we strengthen and encourage the church. That's how the church grows. That's what gives each congregation its unique personality and its unique characteristics and its unique strengths. Where Brandywine Valley Baptist Church is weak, another congregation will make up for that by its unique strength. What I see in Brandywine Valley is the evidence that the Spirit is at work doing something here I have never seen before in any church that I have been a part of. We have a chance to build something unique here. Can we work together intentionally to build a church that people want to find and have given up looking for? Here's my proposal. I'm going to put up on the screen a graph just to give us something visual here to look at. You've heard Pastor Carl and me talk about the path. What is the path? The path is this church's intentional effort to bring more and more people to Christ-centered maturity. Use the graph for just a moment for a quick personal evaluation. Where would you place yourself on that path? Maybe you don't think you're even on the path. But it really doesn't matter in one respect. People walking into Brandywine Valley Baptist Church are all over the map. And it is precisely this diversity of spiritual experience in one church that I don't think I have seen before in any church that I have been a part of. It's what makes me think the Spirit is doing something here that I've never seen before. That and the fact that this church is a safe place for this spiritual diversity. If you don't even think you're on the path, or if you're trying to figure out what Christ has to do with your life, this is a safe place. If a person wants to explore Christ, or if a person is trying to reconnect with Christ and with his church after being away for many years, this is a safe place. It is safe because we here are learning how to take people as they are. And you people who are the long-time stalwarts of this congregation have made it a safe place. You know, people who are afraid of being judged if they come to church can come here. They won't be judged. People are afraid of being judged for a lot of reasons. They're living together outside marriage. They're single parents. They're divorced. They struggle with same-sex attractions. They have addictions. They don't know the Bible. I think we would be surprised how many people walk into this church or any church and they're afraid that they're not going to know what to do at the right time. People walk in here and they feel unworthy for who knows why. These are some of the realities that we experience. If you have friends like that, if you have children or grandchildren like that, would you consider inviting them to be here? It's a safe place for them to be. Whatever your experience has been, there's a good chance their experience can be very much like it. No, it's not that we don't have clear beliefs about God and Christ, about right and wrong. We do. But we know that we, long-time stalwarts of this congregation, mess up to. This is not a church for perfect people. We know that we have to help each other along. And so the reality is that in this congregation, people walk in here from all kinds of backgrounds. And what they're finding is that people like you are able to bear with them when they have thinking that's different than yours, or when they have behavior that's different, sometimes shockingly different. And that's where the path comes in. We're all over this map, but the map points us in a common direction. It offers common goals that everybody can shoot for. If you find it appealing to pursue at your own pace those common goals, or if you would just like to be introduced to a tour of the path, I'd really like to encourage you to be a part of this conference that we have planned for April 12th and 13th. Friday night the 12th is designed just for the Brandywine Valley congregation. We even provide childcare from birth through grade 5. We're going to bring in two godly and seasoned people who are going to present to us very practical, fact-based, and profound insights into how people proceed at their own pace along this path. You can get more information out in the gathering place. You can even register out there this morning. What I want you to take away from this is the idea that the Holy Spirit has placed this kind of spiritual diversity in this safe church at this time in our history. People, generally speaking, are not hostile to Christ, but they don't like churches. Let's build something here that is breathtakingly different. And to do that, we're surely going to need the help of the Lord. So let's pray together and start here by asking that God give us help in building that kind of church. Lord God, we thank you that at the cross and the empty tomb and on the day of Pentecost, you created the church and you undergird the church with your presence and your power. And at the same time, in astonishing ways, you entrust into our hands how we are to build it in our circumstances. Lord, we don't feel adequate to the task. We need your help. But without our asking, you have been giving to this congregation an opportunity to build something that is distinctively reflective of Christ. Lord, help us to do it well so that people who are wandering like sheep without a shepherd can find a home here the way birds find nests. We thank you, Lord, that you've made us a congregation of people who know how to give. Help us to know how to give ourselves away to the stranger, to the newcomer, to the person with odd ideas and strange behavior. Lord, help us to know that giving our time and our energy like that is worthwhile. We thank you that we can give our tithe and offering here and now. And in all of our giving, help us to know, Lord, that our giving is not for nothing, because this doesn't depend on us. It is your strength, it is your guidance that we look to build the Brandywine Valley Baptist Church that will minister to people's needs for a long time to come. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We offer these gifts now in Jesus' name. Amen.